Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. All right. You guys ready for the word? Let's pray. We've prayed. Let's pray some more. Prayer's always a good idea, right? Yeah? Always. Holy Spirit, right now, in the name of Jesus, the powerful name of Jesus, we take authority over every spirit, every demon, every foot soldier of the enemy that is trying to inhibit, prohibit, block, stop, detain, delay, destroy your people. And we thank you, Jesus, that every promise in the Old Testament that you made is ours today. And through you, we have victory. We have it. You promised to destroy our enemies. Ha. To literally destroy them. And so, Lord, I thank you that you were not praying wrath down on people, but we know that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not the person. It's the spirit behind it, the behavior. And we take authority over it right now. And over this flock and any person under the sound of my voice, I declare that this September, when the enemy is trying his best to wreak havoc, we cancel every assignment. We render every plot, plan, device, and strategy of the enemy null and void right now in Jesus' name. We put a blood covering over this house, over myself, over our families, over our properties, over our children, over our finances, over everything that concerns us. And we declare in this season, we are going to see the most spectacular victories that we've ever seen. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can clap for him. That's okay. Yeah. I'm visiting some promise script, sermons from previous seasons, and I'm just kind of pulling from them. But the Lord has had me praying a lot of these verses that I'm going to give to you today, victory verses, because this is not a time to lay down and defeat. This is not a time to glorify and magnify what the devil is doing. He is busy, but God is still on his throne. Amen. And he's still for us. And so I had a dream, and this was this last week as I was putting this together. And I'm walking into these rooms, and all the rooms were filled with people that were, some of them were welcoming me, a few of them, but most of them weren't happy that I was there. And the Lord said, you walk in this room like I sent you there. Because I did. He kept saying it. Walk in the room like I sent you there. And then I heard, be brave. A commandment. Be brave. You know when you are given a commandment by the Lord to be something, you have to decide to be it. He gives you the bravery. But there are things that God is going to call you into in this season where you're going to need to be stout-hearted. One of my favorite movies of all time is Braveheart. I love that kind of stuff. You know, I'm like, riding into battle, you know, and the big epic battle and fighting to the death and all that. I love it. But I really believe that God is going to open some incredible doors, some rooms to you. And we have to be able to go into those rooms and see people that are influenced by the demonic and not react in the same spirit, okay? but to understand that there's a spirit of intimidation that is going to war against your dream, war against your destiny, war against your deliverance, your freedom, and the enemy doesn't want you to walk in there and stay there because demons tremble when you show up. So the instruction is to be brave. And God's really started this language. The first person that he started telling this to was Joshua. When you think about Joshua, Joshua loved the presence of the Lord. He was a presence junkie. The Bible says that every time Moses, his spiritual father, would go into the tent of meeting where the presence of the Lord was, little Joshua would sneak in there, and he'd stay in there, and he'd just hang out in there. And nowhere does it record that Joshua was like a warrior or anything like that. He was a church kid, you know, loved hanging around his spiritual father, watched him lead all of these people out of Egypt. And that's a big assignment when your spiritual father dies and now God gives you the mantle and it lands on you. In all the undone stuff from the previous generation that God still wants to do, gets handed to you. And now it's your turn. Yeah. And Joshua needed courage. He needed God to speak to him and to say some things to him. Because you can imagine, like, even with many baton passes, there's always the Moses fans. And a lot of the previous generation fans are still alive. It's very hard for them to watch a new leader come up and take the baton. That's scary. Like, old people can be super scary. I'm old now, so I can say that. I'm older. But I took the baton and had elders that were much older than me that I was called to pastor, and thank God for them. Thank God for Mama Dee Dee and you, Pastor Glenn, and others that have come in and stood beside me and taken leadership from me and submitted your life to me. So elders, be nice to the young ones that are coming up. They need our encouragement, amen? But you're not off the hook either. God's going to open. If you're not dead, he's not done, amen? And none of you look like the frozen chosen this morning or the dead one, so yeah. He's not done. He's going to open some new doors for you as well. But I know in my spirit that the Lord is giving us an instruction right now, just like he did with Joshua, and he's saying, be brave. Don't walk in there and succumb to a spirit of intimidation. So God promises, number one, he promises to take care of our enemies and give us success. I like that. God says, I'll take care of them and I'll give you success. Our job is to be brave and take God at his word. To look up and say, amid opposition, and say, you got this. You know how many times I've said to God, you got this. And then I hear him say, Verna, you got this. You got this. Because we work in tandem. We work in cooperation with God. He's still going to require us to show up, to put our feet on the land, and to take it, to take possession of what he has promised us. He's not just going to do everything for us. I almost entitled this message, you got this. But the instruction in the dream was, walk in this room like I sent you there, and be brave. Don't be intimidated by their money. Don't be intimidated by their position. Don't be intimidated by their looks. Don't be intimidated, period. You don't have to walk in there all bullish, but be confident. It's a season to know who you are. But God is going to require you to show up. I believe many are coming out of demonic isolation. This message is very prophetic. There has been so much demonic isolation. There is a difference between isolation and solitude. God will call you into a season of solitude. Jesus had to have solitude to power up, to spend time with the Father, to know what the next move was. But through COVID and all of just the fear mongering, and they're trying to do it to us again. And I just hear like in the spirit, a big hail no from the church, a big hail no. But I do believe that the Lord is pulling people who the enemy worked on and warred against. There's been a lot of loss. There's been a lot of heartache. Joshua had experienced loss. His spiritual father had died, and now it's his turn. And when God will call you into bigger things, many times right on the heels of a very painful season where you don't feel prepared. You don't feel strong. Do you hear what I'm using the word feel? We have to identify the feelings, move through them. But when we get an instruction of the Lord, when he says, get up and go in there, don't make excuses. You have to show up. The definition of brave, and I don't mean to be redundant, but it means to exhibit courage in the face of opposition, to show up and make a bold appearance, to defy, to challenge, or to dare. And I don't mean you walk in there all mouthy and everything, but you need to show up in the strength of the Lord and say, God promised this to me. And I'm not going to succumb to the feelings anymore. Sometimes we just need to get up and go and master the art of showing up, okay? So in Joshua 1:5-9, the Lord says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. That's a good promise. I like that. No one. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. If you look at some other versions, it says, be strong and brave. Be courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very brave. You hear him repeat himself? Be very brave. Be very courageous. So let's stop. No one will be able to stand against you. Stay in this sermon, Berna. There were other scriptures where he said, don't look at their faces. Their faces are going to be fierce. This is where you need to have the word of the Lord. Because I've had legions of demons, and one man tell me that they were going to rip my head off and call me a little girl. But when you know that none of them can stand against you because of who is in you. I didn't start trying to fight. I was just a big old guy, and his mouth's moving and all this stuff's coming out, and I'm just like, you're trespassing. Get out of him and get off my property. In the name of Jesus. You have to know who you are. And the Lord's giving you an instruction, and he's saying, I'll be with you. I'm going to give you territory. I'm going to give you land. But the enemy will come up and show up many times, or you go in a room, and you'll see the intimidation spirit operating through people. Yeah? Am I talking to anybody? So the Lord's giving him these instructions. Just be brave, be courageous. And then he says, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. So here we see the word of God, right? In tandem with the instruction of God, the verbal instruction of God, coming to Joshua, and he's saying, keep the book close. Don't close your Bible. And he says, meditate, keep it always on your lips. I love that. He didn't say just read it. He said keep it on your lips. Look at it and then pray it. Speak it. This is why it's so important. I'll read a scripture in my head and through my eyes, and then I'll read it out loud. How many of you do that? Like, I read it out loud. Because God says, keep it on your lips. Get it in your heart, but keep it on your lips. And he says, meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then, after you've done it, you will be prosperous and successful. Yeah? So you should never be bashful about the prosperity and the success that the Lord gives you. There are ministers that actually speak against this very thing. There are people that have warped it, but there are also people that speak against it. Some people fight for poverty more than they fight for prosperity. And here's the thing, you don't really have to fight for it. You just need to know that it's yours. And you need to trust God, and you need to keep the word of God on your lips. And it will just start to flow out in your life. Prosperity and success is the byproduct of obedience to God by keeping the word of God on your lips. Okay? So when the enemy comes, you've got to talk. Don't be silent. And I love to tell him what God says, you know. Well, the word of God says this. And he's already been defeated with it, so he knows when you know the word, he can mess with your head if you let him. But when the word starts flowing up, because he can't read your mind, he doesn't know. He can lie and lie and lie. But when the word of God starts coming out of your mouth, he goes, uh-oh, they know. Gotta go. They know. Right? So, verse 9. I'm trying to show you something that I do when I'm in the word. You're going to hear it three times in a short passage. Be brave. Be strong. I'll be with you. I'll never leave you. I'll forsake you. Now, be very brave. Stay in the word. Keep it on your lips. And do what you see in it, right? You're going to be prosperous. And then he asks him a question. Have I not commanded you? In other words, he asks him a question. Do you understand that I've commanded you? This, he's talking to a young man that's probably, he looked like a deer caught in the headlights. Sometimes we get stunned by the opposition and the assignment and how big it is, and we stand there and he's like, are you listening to me? How many of you have ever told your kid, did you hear what I told you? And he makes him answer him. And then he tells him again, watch, be strong and courageous. In other words, be brave. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Do not. Personal responsibility. These are things that we have to receive and just decide not to do it. When the enemy comes to discourage you, that word discourage means to pull courage out of you. The Lord, when he comes to you, he comes to encourage you, to put courage in you. So anytime you're starting to feel the discourage, you know a demonic spirit is operating to try to pull the courage out of you. And this is why we must learn to encourage ourselves. How? In the Lord. When the word of God gets on your lips, all of a sudden the courage of God starts to come in you. David, when he was in the battle where all of his goods, his wives, all of the soldiers' goods and wives were taken, and they all turned against David. And they were talking of killing him. He's the leader. He's the king. He's the man. He's the warrior. Oh my goodness. And they're all so upset and distraught. David didn't turn against his soldiers because they were really acting out, because hurt people hurt people. David gets down on the battlefield and cried. He put the ephod, he got the prayer shawl, he put it on himself, and the Bible says he got down there and he wept bitterly. But something happened under that prayer shawl, let me tell you, because he started to pray. The Bible said, then David started to encourage himself in the Lord. The big monsters are still out there with all the kids and the wives and the goods and everything else. His army is against him. Watch for this. In this season, attacks will come from the people closest to you. Your family, the people you walk beside, the people you've gone through battles with, because if he can't get an open door in your life, he's going to find somebody else with a crack. Yes? And I tell you what, don't get discouraged. Don't get into the demonic drama. Get alone with God and start to pray and put the courage back inside of you. It says David encouraged himself in the Lord, and then he got up in the strength of the Lord. I like that it says that in the scripture. It says he got up in the strength of the Lord, and he went, and he recovered all. Whoa. Whoa. Yes? So we have an instruction here, and I just wanted to talk just a few scriptures. These are some of my favorites that I tell the devil. Psalm 60:12. Through God I will do valiantly, for it is he who shall trample down my enemies. This is me taking it to a personal level. I want you to say it with me. Through God I will do valiantly, for it is he who shall tread down my enemies. Psalm 60:12, and I love the way the message says it. Sometimes you just need a good ghetto version. And we're going to do it. This is what I'm teaching you today. Watch this. Say it with me. In God, I'll do my very best. He'll flatten the opposition for good. And you know, so I tell the devil that, you know what, I'm going to do my very best. And God's going to flatten you, you fool. He's going to flatten you. So anyone, point D, anyone who desires to live a valiant life is going to experience pushback by the enemy. He sends attacks, persecution, accusation, betrayal, and a myriad of other insidious personal assaults against you. And the good news is God has promised to take care of your enemies, so go forth with a brave heart anyways. This word valiant means worthy, excellent, boldly courageous, marked by bravery or valor, heroic, stout-hearted. And here's the thing. When you become that person, especially when someone has intimidated you and you've kind of been the person to, you know, shut up and put up, and all of a sudden you decide, I'm not going to argue with you, I'm not going to fight, but you're not pushing me around anymore. They don't like that. The enemy hates losing ground. So not everybody's going to be thrilled with your bold courage and pursuit of excellence. But be excellent and boldly courageous anyways. Don't allow your enemies to distract you from your mission. Keep moving and trust that God will take care of them. And then, point two, expect your enemies to turn and run when you cry out to God. Guys, this is history talking to you today. I used to cry. Things would be going on. There's spiritual bullies even in the body of Christ. They quote scripture. Many of them are just broken people. They aren't well. But anytime you have someone that has doors to the enemy open, you know, they come to church, they carry a Bible. Sometimes they don't, but they know scripture, and they can be the meanest people you ever met. And you pray for them, you love them. But here's what I'm going to tell you right now. Watch who runs out of your life and guard your heart when you start standing your ground. And instead of fighting with them, you cry out to the Lord. And I would, and then I'd be, like, they made all these promises to me, and all of a sudden I'm not putting up with their Jezebel spirit or their Ahab spirit or their Leviathan spirit or their Beelzebub spirit or all the 17 strong men and all their foot soldiers anymore. And I'm like, oh God, because we're supposed to love everybody, right? Lord, I start crying out to the Lord, and they're like popping out. Bing, bing. You will experience the loss of some so-called friendships when you start standing your ground and you start praying, because they will turn and run. I used to get so mad. I'm like, but they made all these promises. They were there for a little while, and then they bolt, right? Psalm 56:9 says, I know that when I call for help, my enemies will turn and run. I know that because God is with me. Let them go. Easier said than done. I've always said, if they don't grow with you, they won't go with you. And we are to do everything in our power to minister to people, to give them an opportunity to become healed in their soul. We want that. But when someone with a demonic spirit is very antagonistic toward you, you need to pray. And here's the thing I've learned. I don't have to fight with them. I just need to cry out to God, and then I just watch them run away. So expect that God will reveal himself as the as one to be greatly feared by your enemies. He will cause their schemes to fail. And if they do not repent, they will live with their dishonor forever. That's sad. The best thing you can do is obey Jesus and bless them. Bless them on their way out. I used to say things like, don't let the door hit you in the rear. But now I just hold it open for them so it won't. Otherwise, I'd sit there and watch it get hit, and I'd laugh. Just kidding. Do not get in the same spirit as them, because you don't want any part of their demise. You don't. You can't get away from the word. Jeremiah 20:11 says, but the Lord is with me as a dread champion, one to be greatly feared. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and not overcome me. They will be completely shamed, for they have not acted wisely and have failed in their schemes. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. I don't want to be remembered like that. And you know, it's a good thing that our sins have been forgiven. As far as the east is from the west, they've been blotted out forever. Jesus covers us and took away all of our eternal shame. Isn't that good? But when a person is antagonistic against the Christ inside of you, and they're lying on you, and they're scheming, because I've had things happen too, and I'm like, the fighter in me just wants to go bash heads. Wants to bash heads. It took God to calm me down and the word of God to settle me down. Because when I learned, yes, you can stand up and speak the truth in love, but I learned that their schemes will fail. And I can't worry about the dishonor and all the stuff that they're going to have to like pay for on the day of judgment. I just know this. God is a fierce champion. He is a dread champion to the enemies of your soul. Amen. Amen? This is an encouraging message. I like the way the message says it. It says, but God, a most fierce warrior, is at my side. You need to see that. Those who are after me will be sent sprawling. Slapstick buffoons falling all over themselves. A spectacle of humiliation no one will ever forget. Is that Eugene Peterson that translated that? He must have had a few people in his lifetime. My point in this right now is to encourage you that you need to hold on to the word, especially when the battle is raging through people, because that's how it happens. The enemy will war against your head. And we need to take authority, take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. We need to pull it down. But instead of being reactive, what do? We respond, because leaders are first responders, not first reactors. And don't start saying, you're going to be sent sprawling, you slapstick buffoon. You're going to fall all over yourself. And, you know, the Lord's going to flatten you. And you don't use the word against someone who doesn't even honor it. Because they don't care. You got to care. You need to go into your private place, into your secret place with God, and look at the word and say, God, I thank you that you got this. You're by my side. And wherever you're taking me, there's going to be people that are going to be bothered just because you are in me. Many of you know this, and you're like, I don't know why they were like mean to me. Well, because the devil in them didn't like the Jesus in you. So stop taking it so personal. It is a compliment. Thank you. And hold on to the word. And as I bring this down today, it's simple stuff, right? But some people say that I'm a general. I don't know if I'm a general. I definitely am militant. That's for sure. I almost wore my military jacket today. Some of you need to get one. Just put it on and be like, I'm in charge. I'm a sergeant. I'm decorated, right? You need to know. Go ahead. You need to see yourself like that in the spirit. But this is your stockpile. And I always say, listen, no trained soldier goes into battle without a weapon and without ammunition. Okay, so you need to stockpile ammunition. Yep, I still believe in owning guns and having ammunition. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Don't send me hate mail, because I will quote scriptures over you. 3 victory promises, and you will run, because I will cry out to God. Oh my goodness, I have to get through this. Literally saw it happen, though. I had natural weapons in the house, and my house was broken into, and there were 2 men on my property robbing me through the night as I was sleeping like a baby. And when I sat up in the bed, because one breached my bedroom door, I know he saw an angel. He had to have seen a flash of lightning or, like, I don't know, Gabriel with a sword or something, because it was just me, you know, and he just bolted. Almost broke his neck. He was sent sprawling. It's good. It's a good thing I'd been quoting that for a while, right? But you need to have a stockpile. And these are my 3 main ones. Here it is. Just write them down. Put them in your notes in your phone. Look them up. Every time somebody's talking trash about you, read this out loud and let it be on your lips. No weapon. This is God's promise. This is him saying to you, but I say it about me back to him. And here's how I say it. No weapon that is formed against me will succeed. And every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I will condemn. Watch this. We don't condemn people. We condemn the tongue. We condemn the word. We judge the word. The Bible says don't judge the person, but we judge the word. Those words are curses. Those words do not align with what God says about me. See what I'm doing here? I judge those words because that is my inheritance. God has given me the authority and the power. This peace, righteousness, security, and watch this, triumph over opposition is my heritage because I'm a servant of the Lord. And my vindication is from you, Lord, because you said so. You see that? He loves it when we tell him what he said. How many of you as a parent love it when your your children come to you and not, you said you'd take me to Disneyland. Not that. But you said something important to them, and they tucked it away in their heart. And they remembered it word for word. And one day they come to you and they say, Dad, remember when you said this? And you realize they were really listening. Like they really took it to heart, and they put weight of respect on what you said. And when you hear them say it back to you, there's something powerful in that. Because you realize they heard me, and they respected me, and they believe me, and they trust me. And God loves it when we do this. There's something about that. There's a favor. It's like, you know, hey, Gabriel, Michael, you guys go open the vaults for them. They were listening. There's something that I just learned this. Like, you want to do more for that child. Not the one, are you listening? I've been talking to you all day. You don't hear a word I say. You don't do a thing I say. You don't listen to anything. Some of you guys have said these things, right, before. But then they surprise you. And one day they start to mature. And all the stuff they weren't listening and you thought it wasn't getting in there, and, you know, you're chasing them around trying to beat their little head off, and maybe not. Sometimes I wanted to just bop mine up and say, are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? And then they grow up. And they tell you what you said. And you're like, they were listening. We need to be like this with the Lord. That is one of your primary scriptures, victory scriptures. And you need to know it, and you need to keep it on your lips. And especially in this season. There is demonic chatter. How many of you have heard the demonic chatter? Silence it. Shut it down, right? Pull it down. Joshua, when they brought these kings out to Joshua, I thought I'd throw one in here. These kings had all come against Joshua. Now, this is after he had this instruction of the Lord to be brave. You're going in these places. Be very brave. Be very courageous. Come on, show up. Make a bold appearance. They go into battle. These kings that tried to destroy them are taken captive. They win these battles. And here's Joshua later. Joshua called for all the men of Israel and told the commanders of the men of war who had gone with him, come up close, you know, come up close and put your feet on the necks of these kings. Here's the guy that would look like deer caught in the headlights, right? And now he sees himself as this kind of conqueror. And here we see Joshua telling the men what God told him. Do not fear or be dismayed, intimidated. Be strong and courageous. Be brave. For this is what the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you are about to fight. We see him go from this guy who gets the assignment, who's having God tell him repeatedly to be very brave, and now he's a commander of an army. And he's like, I want to show you what we're going to do to our enemies. You've got to get to that point where you keep the enemy under your feet. And you let him know, there's a place for you in my life, and it's always under my feet. There's no place in my soul, there's no place in my home, but I will walk on. Jesus said, behold, I have given you authority to tread, to trample on the enemy over all his power, and nothing by any means shall harm you. Luke 10:19. And so in the Old Testament, we see the Lord treading down the enemies. In the New Testament, we see Jesus giving the authority, and Jesus says, now I'm in you. I'm in you. So show up. Put your feet on the ground. Take the land. Be courageous. Don't be intimidated. I love it. And then here's your last one, and I'm done. An exuberant declaration of faith. I love that. I always say pay attention to the subtitles. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. There it is. David saw the reality of this in his own life. And so today, as I wrap this up, I want to tell you this. There will be many opportunities for you to be afraid. Fear is out there. People are talking in agreement with the spirit of fear. You hear it coming out of their mouth. The devil loves it. He is the spirit of fear. That's why Jesus said through Paul to Timothy, the Lord didn't give you a spirit of fear. He didn't give it to you. He gave you one of love and of power and a sound mind. Those three passages, and there are a lot of other really good ones, I have said so many times when I'm being invited into something where I feel this big and heaven sees me this big. You guys are nodding at me like you know. It always will challenge you because the way heaven sees you and the way you see yourself and many times the way others see you, there's a huge gap between those. And what I'm trying to do is infuse courage into you and tell you this is the instruction of the Lord for this hour. He's inviting some of you in to places of promotion. He's inviting you some of you in to places of creation where you're going to write books and you're going to do things that are going to scare you. You're going to have conversations with people that you're going to look at them and they have much more education, years of experience. And God, because of the anointing he's placed on your life, is going to give you an invitation into these places. And you cannot be shaken in your shoes. You need to know that the Lord is by your side. There will be people in there that need your anointing. There will be people in there that need the wisdom of God that he has placed in your life. They're going to need you to show up and be bold and be excellent. And at the same time, simultaneously, you will see people that will roll their eyes and mock the Jesus inside of you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll smile to your face and they'll have a knife just ready to stick it in your back. But the good news is that he's our shield. He is our shield. He is our abundant compensation. He is the fierce one. He is the one that is dreaded by the enemy. He is our champion. He is our glorious king. He is going to protect you. He is going to use you. He is going to raise you up. And he is saying, come out of isolation. Come on, put your war boots on. Come on, army of God. Come on, this is our time. It is our time to open our mouth with courage and not back down in this hour. I believe God is raising all of you up. It's time. You got to know who you are. Walk in there. Walk into those rooms like he sent you there because he did. Amen. Come on, stand up to your feet. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the power of Jesus Christ, our anointed one. Holy Spirit, I ask you to dump right now. Release your presence. Release your fire. Release your anointing. Do it, Lord. If there are any vacancies, any emptiness in your people right now, they feel drained. They feel spilled out. Lord, I thank you that you're filling them up. You fill their cup. Their cup is overflowing. You're anointing their head with oil. God, I thank you that you have given many of them time to rest. You've taken them beside still waters. You've restored their soul. If there's any that need that, Lord, do it now. But I do believe you're gathering the army. You're calling the church out of her slumber. You're calling her out of her complacency. It is time for her to arise. It is time for the bride to get up in all of her glory and all of her beauty. And I pray for those around the world that are in the kingdom right now that are weary, that they would do valiantly for you. I bless them. For anybody that doesn't know you, I pray they would put you right now in your proper place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. to receive you right now. If you are listening to me, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. He loves you. He must be Lord. He must be Lord. He said that if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that he died, he was buried, he rose again, and you will make him the Lord of your life, that he will come in. He will come in and give you eternal life, but he will also give you the power to be successful and victorious. And I want to pray a prayer of salvation with you. Just make the decision. Prayers alone don't save you. It's really belief. There is no sinner's prayer in the Bible. But I believe that everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and every person must repent of their sins. Every person must make Jesus the Lord of their life. And if you do that, the slate is wiped clean, and you have the power to do what I said today. Say, Lord, I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that you died on the cross, you were buried, and you rose again on the third day. And today, I ask you to forgive me of my sins, and I make you the Lord of my life. Say it again. I make you the Lord of my life. Fill me with your spirit. I know I will never, ever, ever be the same.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at soulharvestwc. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.